Welcome to worship. Today, the scripture lessons focus our attention in the gospel on how important it is that the Lord bless the work that we do. It's a story of the miraculous catch of fish. But we also focus our attention on the ministry of the prophet Jeremiah, who brings us the words of today's first lesson. Learning to live in difficult spiritual times is an important lesson, and Jeremiah was an expert at that. May the Lord bless your worship this morning. We begin today by singing our opening hymn, hymn number 259.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness.
Lord, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions.
be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared joys beyond understanding for those who love you. Pour into our hearts such love for you that loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first scripture lesson of today's service comes to us from the third chapter of the Lamentations of Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah's sad song, a lament about all the disaster that befell Jerusalem and Judah because of her sinfulness. But these, out of that long lament, are words of hope. They will serve as the text for this morning's sermon. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. This is the word of the Lord. We join together in the psalm chosen for this day, Psalm 34. Here's a psalm that rejoices in the grace and mercy of our loving God.
Thank you.
The second lesson of today's service is written in the third chapter of Peter's first letter. Here, reflecting what Jeremiah said to us in the first lesson, Peter speaks about difficulties that come our way and how the Lord intends them for good. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Live as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the words of Jesus. The Holy Gospel is written in the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. Miraculously, Jesus shows his power as the Son of God and the fact that all things that are accomplished come through his power. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. We join the entire Christian church in confessing our faith in the triune God in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light,
True God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God, which we shall consider this morning, is the Old Testament lesson chosen for this day, found in the third chapter of the Lamentations of Jeremiah. You can follow it in your bulletin on page 5. Beloved fellow children of God, Jeremiah is not the happiest figure of the Old Testament. He was called by the Lord when he was a young man to be a spokesman for the Lord, certainly a wonderful honor, and Jeremiah gladly accepted that assignment. But Jeremiah had the misfortune to be born at the wrong time, if you will. The children of Israel, after a long, sad history, were continuing to turn away from God's word, and destruction was closing in on them. And so for 41 years, it was Jeremiah's task to tell people what they did not want to hear, by and large. He had a lot of difficulties, often just barely escaping with his life. But Jeremiah is somebody that speaks to us today. Our text comes from the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah's lament about the downfall of Jerusalem and the result of rebellion against God and sin. But the words take on meaning for us because of Jeremiah's situation in particular. Because we too are called to live in a time when there are plenty of people around us who are Christians, but where God's word is not something that people want to listen to. So we ask with Jeremiah, what is a righteous man to do? Well, first of all, we should make sure that we know who a righteous man is in the scripture. We might easily say, well, a righteous man is someone who always does what is right. That's not the appropriate definition. A righteous man in the Old Testament is someone who trusts in the Lord's covenant. That's going to change his life. That's going to make him do things that he otherwise wouldn't do or avoid doing things that he might otherwise be drawn to. But his being righteous is not dependent on how successful he is, but rather on the fact that he depends on the Lord. He trusts in God. That's who Jeremiah was. That's who Christians are when they are thinking correctly. But like Jeremiah today, the righteous are caught in the disaster of sin. We might look around in our culture and say, well, where's the disaster? You know, things have never been better than they are right now. Well, that depends on your definition of better, doesn't it? We're safe, at least for the present. We are blessed by the Lord outwardly and physically with all that we need. We have wonderful things that help us take advantage of the world that God has given to us, but it is also very true that we do not live in times that lead people to the Lord. Jeremiah lived in a time when his message was not welcome. The children of Israel did not want to hear from this prophet
of doom. Because that's what he was always saying. Let's understand Jeremiah's and the children of Israel, or Judah in particular, their situation. For many decades, centuries, the prevailing power in the Middle East had been Assyria. And the people of Israel got along with that situation. But the empire of Assyria was crumbling for a whole bunch of reasons, more complicated than we want to think about, but they had lost it. Babylon got its independence about 626 BC. And by 610 BC, just 16 years later, Babylonia had won a crushing victory over Assyria, and Assyria faded into the past, never to be heard from as an empire again. Outwardly, I would suppose that the children of Israel, Judah, the people of Judah, would have rejoiced in that because the Assyrians frequently oppressed them. But what happened was that a vacuum, a political vacuum, developed. And now the power on the other side of Judah, Egypt, was threatened by Babylonia. And here was little Judah right in the middle. If there's going to be a battle, it's going to be fought over the top of their heads. Who to go with? Do we align ourselves with Egypt against Babylon, or do we align ourselves with this new king that's rising, Nabonassar and his famous son, Nebuchadnezzar? Well, that was the outward circumstance. The children of Israel didn't have time for a message from Jeremiah that said, don't worry about making alliances. Don't worry about chariots and horses and infantry. You need to repent and trust in the Lord. You need to walk in the ways of the Lord. Follow his covenant, and Judah will be safe. Well, you can imagine that most people were not particularly interested in that. They didn't see any divisions that the Lord had, and they needed those alliances. And they needed to get along with everybody else. And everybody else had their own gods. You know, the Egyptians had their gods that they depended on, and the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the others all had theirs. And so the children of Israel were tempted to just get along by going along. But instead, they've got this Jeremiah. Oh my, the man does not know the idea of getting along with people, of compromise. He only brings one message. You have to do what the Lord wants to do. Your salvation is in the Lord. It's not in all those things out there. What's a righteous man to do? This was the world that Jeremiah faced. I don't believe it's very much different from our world. Oh, politically, things are a little different. We're Babylonia. We're Babylon. We're not some little country caught betwixt and between. But that doesn't really make any difference, because it isn't about nations. With the coming of Christ, the church is everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, not some certain group of people like the children of Israel or Judah. So the politics aren't important. But the compromising is. People don't stop being Christians by just getting up one morning and saying, I'm tired of being a child of God. I don't think there's a hell. I don't think there's a heaven either. I think people just live and die, and so I'm just going to live my life and do what I want, and I'm not going to be constrained by the words of the Scripture that are always telling me that I have to do this or I have to do that. A complete misunderstanding of one's relationship with God. But it's the same temptation that the children of Israel faced. And it's the same problem, that the answer to the problem is exactly the same as that which Jeremiah brought the people. He said, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Think about that. In Jeremiah's day, armies were on the move. Great battles were being fought. And this prophet of the Lord says, why don't you just sit quietly and wait for the salvation of the Lord? I don't think so, the children of Israel said. We have to do something. And when people grow up in our culture, there is so much pressure to go along with the world. If I just sit quietly and wait for the salvation of the Lord, if I believe that my life has meaning because I'm going to be with the Lord eternally, you think that's going to be effective? How am I going to get along in high school? How am I going to get along in a world that expects me to compromise all the time? You see, our days really aren't different than those of Jeremiah. Listen to what he says. He says, it's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Then he says, it's good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. Again, the reaction of people who don't understand the covenant that God makes with his people is, are you crazy? What good is that going to do? In fact, if anything, it's young people who need to make compromises. They're the ones who are just learning how to get along. Those kind of compromises bring disaster. The worst mistakes, even though it's true that there's no fool like an old fool, the worst mistakes that we make in our lives are made when we are young. And what does Jeremiah say to the people of God, to the righteous? He says, let him sit alone in silence. Maybe everyone else isn't going to get along with you. Maybe they won't want to hear what you have to say. Maybe they'll make fun of you. Don't worry about that. Let him sit alone in silence, because it is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. And the Lord has laid this yoke on us, whether we're young or not. The Lord has laid on us the yoke. You know, a yoke, put it across two big oxen so that they can pull the plow or a big load. The Lord lays a yoke on his people. It is to stay away from the culture that is in the world, to stop going along with what the world says. And the world is not going to like that. They're not going to be happy at all. And so you have to face the situation that you may have to bury your face in the dust. But Jeremiah says, there's still hope. Don't give up on the Lord. Have confidence. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. Embrace what is right and the consequences that come with that yoke. Why? Why should I do that? Why should I give up what I can get here in this world? Because God's love for you is your only hope. Our text begins, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. I know that this is the right message, and you do too. Think of what Jeremiah just said. God's compassions never fail. What does the world have to offer to us? Deep down, every one of us knows that it will fail. The world could offer you fame. Well, that might be good for a few decades, but at the very least, you'll be dead, and then fame won't mean anything. It'll probably disappear long before that. The world can offer you pleasure, but that's a passing thing. That's not something that satisfies the heart. We have an emptiness in us that can only be filled by the Lord. His mercies are new every morning. In the world, it's the same old story. People have been being disappointed by Satan, their own sinful flesh, and the world around them ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin. It never changes. But the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. God came into this world to take our place. He knew about taking the yoke on you and waiting quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It didn't look good at many times, certainly not on the cross when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he waited quietly for the Lord. And he did that so that we could count on God, so that we could stand shoulder to shoulder with Jeremiah as righteous men. Jeremiah addresses especially the young people. Listen to what he says. His heart is filled with love for God's people. He is reflecting God's love for you that is new every morning. Depend on God. Wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We receive the offerings that we've prepared for the Lord.
We rise to pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day. We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us. You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature. We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth at this place and everywhere. Grant them a rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love. Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them. Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are suffering the infirmities of age. Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being. Grant your blessing to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore. Bring the comfort of your shepherd's rod and staff to the family of Mabel Maves, whom you called to yourself this week after a long illness. Comfort them with the knowledge that their mother and grandmother is with her Savior. Grant your continued healing to Eunice Stenmark, who is recuperating at Kaiser Roseville Hospital following surgery yesterday to remove a portion of her colon that was badly infected. Thank you for guiding the hand of the surgeon and those assisting. Be with her with your healing in the weeks ahead. Grant continued healing to Don Bancroft, recuperating from surgery to remove a tumor in his colon. We are grateful for what the surgery has accomplished and pray that continued treatment will be successful. Be with Debbie Heidemann as she recuperates from pneumonia and doctors work on a diagnosis of the pressure on her brain. Stand beside Tony Roth and Neil Honeycutt as they battle their kidney cancers, as well as Matthew Palm as his paralysis slowly recedes. You are their comfort and strength. We are grateful for the healing that you have given to Pastor John Monkey of Apostles Lutheran Church in San Jose, our sister congregation. Give him continued healing from the infection that has sapped his strength. Be with our nation's leaders and servicemen and women in these troubled times. Keep us all in your loving arms. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory. We give ourselves to you that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now we confess that you, with your Son and the Holy Spirit, are one God and one Lord. And we acknowledge you as our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Our members and those guests who have previously announced may step forward now at the direction of the ushers. Thank you. We rise and join in the Song of Simeon on page 12 of your service folder. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. We extend the greetings of St. Mark's to all those who are guests this morning. We're delighted to have you. We hope that you enjoyed the service, and we invite you to come and worship with us again in the future. There's one brief announcement to add to those that are in the bulletin. There are a number of summer activities, so pay close attention to those. But not in the bulletin is the fact that we have a special Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, LWMS, display prepared that's at the back of the church lobby. We invite you to learn a little bit about that organization by viewing the things that are there. May the Lord bless you in this coming week as you stand apart from this sinful world.